If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It's hour three of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Listen online at fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio or download the very free app. 24 hours of free fantasy sports content.
Very single, very disease-free app.
It's, I mean, take it with you and don't be afraid. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to put a cream on it. It's a wonderful thing to take with you, and you'll get fantasy sports content. And you'll get us as we've got the In This League overtime show you can catch during the week, kind of in the nighttime spot. And then you can obviously catch us 3 hours on the weekend in a couple different places. So that is very awesome. We love having you guys in. Did you know, though, that it only takes 1 minute to potentially save someone's life, Bogman?
1 minute?
Seriously, 1 minute. That's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There are currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we need more. There's an American diagnosed every 3 minutes with blood cancer. There can be enough donors. There can never be enough donors, actually. For only $45, you can help DKMS register new bone marrow donors. DKMS donors save approximately 19 lives a day. We want you to help save one. So please, if you can, go to DKMS.org/FNTSY today. Do it. So we are back with it. Your authors of the fantasy, the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, of course. If you guys want to see the rest of the content that we have got going on, go over to InThisLeague.com. You can get all the podcasts. You can check out all the universe that we've created at In This League and much, much more. We're going to finish up with a little bit of spring training content, and then we'll probably finish out the show. We're going to talk about the NFL Combine. We're going to talk about some of the crazy performances and some NFL draft news. So that'll be fun. But as we can't help but talk about, and we kind of alluded to when we were just finishing up the last segment in hour two, we were kind of talking about some of the spring training injuries. There's some stats we want to cover. There's some injuries we want to cover. So, Bogman, why don't you kind of set the table here for where we're going to go?
Well, we're talking about some of these spring training injuries, and there have been a lot. If you go and you look through a place like RotoWorld and you click on the injuries, I mean, there's a bunch of little, you know, strains and pains, and like we mentioned before, everyone has the flu right now. Those aren't really major injuries. I wanted to talk about some of the big ones, and we already talked about a guy like Yuli Gurriel. You said you're knocking him down significantly, right?
Hamate bone,
surgery on it, probably going to be out until at least late April.
It is fair to say that I've knocked him down relatively significantly, but he was also kind of low. Essentially what happened is he went from like a target that I wanted to like, I don't think I can get down with it right now.
Right. And at least if it was going to happen for him, it's at a position where, first base is fairly deep. So, yeah. Like you said, possible target, now not really a target. He'd have to go fairly late for you to take him and just to stash him, something like that.
Yeah.
Jacob deGrom missed his first spring start due to back stiffness. Back injuries for pitchers are bad. These Mets pitchers have a history of injuries and not, you know, either returning too soon or whatever. You would think that this has to be different this year. So, are you afraid that maybe the Mets are going to baby Jacob deGrom coming back because of all the stuff that happened last year and because of just the horrible look that they had? Last year was the first year that he pitched over 200 innings.
So what's the question? Am I concerned?
Yeah. Like, what is your level of concern?
It's kind of there. You know, it's part of the, like, I don't love that range of, like, I've got DeGrom and Carrasco, like, right near each other, and I think both of them
They both had stuff.
Yeah, they both got stuff, and it makes me a little bit weary. And I guess I'm not like I'm not afraid to take them, but it is a little bit of concern. But I just am not going to read too much into it. Yeah, I don't. I just don't think you can, especially with these elite pitchers. I mean, there. I suppose there could be an argument that someone could make, like, okay, well, you do it with Danny Salazar. Why not here? I think it's a little bit of a different story.
Well, and Danny Salazar is definitely going to miss time. Like, this could be. This could be a thing where he misses a week and then comes back and pitches in the spring. I'm just talking about for, you know, you have to draft today, right?
Yeah.
Your draft is today, or we're in slow drafts that are going right now. I'm going to pass on a guy like Jacob DeGrom, or, you know, not really pass.
Yeah, I'm not going to pass on him.
But I would put him at the bottom of the group of those pitchers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not quite there because I just, at the end of the day, one of the things I try to walk in and believe, especially with, call it the top 30 pitchers, I got to put them all on the same playing field. I'm going to put them all in a general same playing field, and I'm going to assume I'm going to get, you know, whatever, the best or the projected number out of every single one of those guys. And I can't be like, well, this is going to happen and this is going to happen unless my hand is forced. If my hand is forced, okay, there's nothing I can do about that. You know?
I'm not sure if I'm following you. So are you saying, like, you're just going to believe in your ranking until you hear that they're actually hurt and out for
yes,
time?
Yes, that's okay. What I'm getting at. I'm saying, like, with right. most of these guys, I'm not going to just, like, shy away because, like, he's got some back stiffness. These are the elite of the elite guys. I can get the top end stats. So I'm going
well,
to
I'm
just
not
assume.
Saying right. I'm not taking them off my list. What I'm saying is
well,
you know, there's a clump of guys right here. Like you know, Strasburg, Severino, Jacob DeGrom, and Carlos Carrasco.
Yes.
And all I'm saying is that normally I would have, you know,
in that order is how I have them.
I'd have DeGrom ahead of Strasburg because of his injury history in the past. But right now, if I had to pick between them, I would take Strasburg. Because Strasburg's not hurt at this point.
Well, I would too, because I have Strasburg above him. But I'm saying I have Carrasco below DeGrom. I'm not changing that.
You would take
that.
DeGrom over. Okay, because I had that choice. I had the choice between Carrasco and DeGrom, and I went with Carrasco. I have Carrasco slightly ahead of DeGrom anyway. But, you know, I would take – I was forced with that decision, and I went with Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's – plenty of people that are with you on that exact same sentiment. I didn't like make it sound as neat and compact.
It was
as it
not eloquent.
It was not right. eloquent. I'm not looking at the top 30 pitchers or top 29 or whatever, or 25 or whatever you want to call it. And I'm not going to build in all this like spring training stuff. I'm not going to look at one and be like, well, the numbers in spring
We're
training
not
really
talking
good.
Talking about stats. We're talking but about I,
well,
injuries.
Okay, you didn't let me finish. I'm saying I'm not building in the stats from spring training. I'm not going to build in the little naggy bull crap. I'm not going to assume those things. Now, if he walks off the mound with shoulder tightness and an MRI is tomorrow, that's a completely different thing. That is completely different than little stuff that happens. It goes on. These guys have been away from the game for 3 months. They're back. They're working in it. Some are going to get lit up. Some are going to have some little tightness as they work through it. So I'm just not going to assume that. If a player has given me enough where I need to like 1,000% build in like huge injury risk, I will consider that. But I don't even consider Strasburg. I'm not going to devalue him based on the injury risk. So I'm not going to do that to Grom. You and I are completely different in that. Like any naggy little bullcrap that happens, you build that into a player. And like Strasburg is a huge injury risk to you, and DeGrom well, having it is as well for you.
Over previous seasons, but I mean, I cut this list I have on our sheet here, the Welsh, is cut from like 50 players. So I'm not going to take into account every guy in spring training, but if they have past injury problems, I do my best to avoid them. What about Marcus Stroman? Because you did mention shoulder stuff.
And that is one.
He has a shoulder injury. Now, they already looked, and they said it's not structural. He's not pitching right now, though. And he's going to try to get out to pitch next week. What are you doing with a guy like Stroman?
Yeah, no, I bumped him down a little bit, and that one hurt. I didn't want to do that. That was one I definitely didn't want to do, but that is concerning. Like that's a legitimate, like I see like the shoulder strain or I see things like that. And I bump him down a little bit, but I also consider the aces and those middling guys just a tad bit different. Like,
okay,
DeGrom is an elite ace, you know, type of player. Like, he is not quite, you know, he's not Kluber in them, but he's that kind of next tier. Like we said, it's the Strasburg, the Carrascos, those type of guys. Guys like Stroman, I really like him, but I think there is, as it's been described before, a glob of pitchers in right. there. So if there is a risk, that's where I'm going to build in the risk a little bit more, where I'm like, well, I'll just take another guy. I'll take the next guy on the list or the next couple guys because I'm better there with a major concern like that. If that same thing was put on DeGrom, he would have bumped down a couple spots. He'd okay. probably go, he might even go below like Darvish for me.
All right. And I just looked up, there's an update today on DeGrom. He's going to throw batting practice on Sunday. So we'll see how he gets through that and then how he progresses. But I think it's going to be kid gloves with Jacob DeGrom because of how bad the Mets looked last year. A couple other little ones here, the Welsh. Austin Barnes has an elbow injury. He's going to DH in the spring.
Your guy.
But this could cost him time at catcher when they already said, you know, Yasmani Grandal is
going
to be the main catcher. I mean, I don't care about Austin Barnes even a little bit. But I mean, I would take him, I think even in NL only, I would find it tough to take a guy like Austin Barnes, because if he has an elbow injury, how's that going to affect him throwing the second on steals and stuff? So he could get less time there. And
yeah, but they're also just deep. But they're just babying him right now, so he doesn't like have a re-aggravation. Like, they just want him to work through DH so he can get healthy for the start of the season. And in NL only, in some leagues, he might qualify at second base as well. I think there's a value there.
Yeah, I mean, well, then you can have him. I'm not going to mess with a catcher with elbow stuff. That bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call him. I mean, he's not my guy or anything.
Right. So well, I mean, we have a big-ass NL-only league coming up, and I know that's kind of where your head's at, right?
That's what I'm thinking, but I'm not right. saying I'm going to take him. He's not quite my my cup of tea, and frankly, in those type of formats, I might be a little bit more prone to be more aggressive with catchers.
Joe Musgrove is behind in camp. He has a shoulder issue, kind of like in the similar vein of Stroman. So I mean, I don't care if Musgrove goes off your board because of this. Just, you know, he's a last round flyer type of pitcher or a deep league option anyway.
He's barely on most anyway. Yeah,
right. And Clint Frazier, who, you know, we're not expecting to have much time because of how deep the Yankees are, probably more of a trade chip for a pitcher at some point for the Yankees, but he has bad concussion stuff.
Yeah,
like he cannot get straight. So that's just something to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we were looking at, you know, a lot of our conversation has been about kind of stats and looking at spring training. It's this is the battle, man. You know, what was that funny thing we saw where it was like if there was a spring training draft, Mikel Franco would be number one because he always shows up in the spring. And we've got to read.
Maybe he should just be traded to the Marlins.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he likes Florida.
But one of the things that's really popped out is there have been some young guys that have really looked good. That have really, like,
yeah.
Take this for instance. This isn't one we have on the list, but it's obviously one to talk about. Ronald Acuna, who we, you know, I mean, Jesus. In this league, we've been talking about Acuna for 6 months, especially because right. of all the fall league coverage I had. And there's been lots of different. This, that, and the other thing with drafts. He starts the spring 0-7. Then he goes on a freaking tear. And the biggest pop he's got so far is on Friday when he launches a homer off of Masahiro Tanaka. And we get it on, you know, TV, and there's the sound of the bat, and everyone's freaking out. And the continued conversation of how he is pushing the Braves even more and more and more. This is like the Cody Bellinger situation. This is like, you know, the Chris Bryant situation where these guys are doing everything they can. The only thing that might hold them back is service time. And the more that you see him succeed and the excitement gets there, the more that I start to believe even more that this is a guy that might be up earlier and earlier, and spring is playing a very big case for it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is spring is so much more important for the younger players than it is for the veterans, because I did the very first year we started ITL, the Welsh, I don't know if you remember, but I did the look at spring stats, and I spent way too many hours looking at spring stats and do they precede a good season? If you're good in spring, are you going to be good for the year? No, it basically means nothing, to be honest with you. So, but I think the playing time is much, much different. And there have been plenty of guys that have looked great. I find it hilarious that the Pirates went out and replaced McCutchen with all these different options, and now Austin Meadows is murdering spring training.
He's How about Kyle Tucker? Kyle Tucker.
Every time I turn around, he has another home.
Dude, he just and he's one of those guys that you know, in on Prospect One, my podcast, I talked about how, you know, his results were really lacking. He seemed just kind of just doing the motions, but he acknowledged it and said it's a long season. He's kind of, you know, he's just doing what he needs to do. And he's ramped up. His swing is, he's just destroying balls, and he's getting coverage everywhere. There's no way the Astros are going to trade this guy now for a guy like JT Romito. There's no way, because he is dialing in on all cylinders, and it gets the excitement going. But maybe not more than any player that I was more excited for in the preseason than Miguel Andujar with the Yankees. They go acquire Brandon Drury, say he's got the lead on the job. Andujar says, hold my beer. Four homers to start the spring so far, 2-1 game. Nobody looks more dialed in than Miguel Andujar.
Yeah, and Ian Happ, Mr. Smiley himself, is hitting 500 right now. A young guy like Greg Allen for the Indians, and Ryan McMahon with the Rockies. You know, they have options of what they're going to do at first, because they can always just
I think it's his.
David Dahl hit a two-run bomb today.
Nope, don't. I can't do it. Bogman, I can't have a conversation about David Dahl. There's no David Dahl. It's not happening.
See, maybe we're not so different.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not so different, because you just said that I'm the, you know, paranoid injury guy. I mean, look, if there's any one player that's going to make you an injury scaredy cat guy, it's David Dahl.
Oh, my
Dude's
God.
Dude's constantly hurt.
It's worthless. But he's worthless.
I mean, he's not worthless, though. He just hit a two-run shot.
Okay,
I mean,
in spring training, where you said it doesn't matter.
No, I said it doesn't matter for the veterans. For the young players, playing time matters. So,
if
Ryan McMahon cools down, David Dahl looks good, maybe David Dahl's up to start the year.
I don't think so.
That's all I'm saying.
Ryan McMahon, they moved Ian Desmond so they could put Ryan McMahon at first. That's what's going on. Spring is here. It's exciting. Watch it all and get all your coverage at In This League and the ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast. But we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the NFL Combine, because we got a draft podcast, too. And here's a little teaser. Saquon Barkley.
So Saquon Barkley.
Don't go anywhere. It's In This League. We'll be back. Mm.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
That ain't happening at the NFL Combine, that's for sure. I mean, at least for some. There's some guys that are they're just coming up aces, that's for sure. Saquon Barkley, hashtag. Very, very sad, by the way, that I'm not going to be seeing him as a Niner. Hashtag suck for Saquon was my thing.
Hey, look, no, trades haven't been done yet.
That's true.
So they didn't. Not the all number. Hope is lost. And
they got the number
the Niners won a coin flip.
They did. As it was told, the Niners haven't lost anything since Jimmy Garoppolo became a 49er. They haven't lost a game or a coin flip. So
that's right.
I'm very happy to have that. Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you guys missed any of the show, because we've had a great show, by the way. We talked about Shohei Ohtani. We were going through the great baseball invitational.
Fantasy Baseball Invitational.
We were going through that with our drafts. We were going through some player debates. All of that you can get on demand. Just go over to fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio, or you can search iTunes and you'll find this podcast, the FNTSY version. And if you search In This League, you will find all the other shows that we do. And there are many. We are plentiful of content for you guys. Now, we don't just talk about baseball, because we've got the football podcast, but we've also got on the same feed as the In This League Fantasy Football podcast is the NFL Draft War Room, which that is hosted by Scott Bogman, because Bogman is our college football and NFL draft guy. You do all the big coverage. And I mean, you and I used to be, I remember back in the day, like the NFL Combine, we were those guys that would just watch it all week long. And we don't have time now. And I've kind of molded into the baseball guy.
The older you get, the more boring the combine is. Well, I mean, you know,
not even that it's boring necessarily, but like I've molded into kind of like the prospect baseball guy, and you've molded into our In This League prospect football guy too.
It's boring. Like, look, seeing the numbers is exciting, right? But watching a bunch of dudes run around in spandex in a dome stadium in February or March, I guess now.
It must be my birthday.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're Herbert from Family Guy.
Hey, Muscly Arm.
Hey there, Muscly Arm. I heard you did 29 reps.
You want a popsicle?
It's not super exciting. I'm a guy that loves to see these numbers, but I really like seeing the numbers. I don't get why we can't see, you know, why are Arizona Fall League games not televised, but the combine is, right? That's these guys aren't even playing games. They're running in straight lines. And then, you know
why? Because there's ratings, man. People eat up football.
I know. I just find it weird that people would rather watch the combine than watch like a minor league game.
I mean, I agree with you, but it's just a whole nother beast. Now, there's a lot of pub, at least especially Friday, by the way, because the running back showed up, and we're going to talk heavily about Saquon Barkley, but I would also point out there were some other really, really good and interesting performances. I definitely want Bogman, just putting it out there. I want to talk about Rashad Penny, because Rashad Penny seemed to, at least from what I garnered, maybe I'm wrong and you can point it out, seemed to have a pretty good combine so far. Bo Scarborough, there's one of those interesting questions. Let me ask you this one. I don't know if you saw this. One of my favorite things about the NFL Combine is the wacko bullcrap that's asked. Wasn't there one? What was the crazy one? I'm thinking
it was the staring contest.
Not the staring contest, but wasn't there one where someone was asked, "Is their mother a prostitute?"
What?
Don't you remember that a couple years ago? That 100% happened. 100% happened. Someone was asked that. I cannot remember who it was.
Your mother a prostitute.
I swear to God. Like somebody.
What did they say the reasoning for that was? Well, I want to see how he handled adverse situations.
That it was. No, but that guy.
That's such crap.
But that player like openly had like issues. Like I believe his mother had like real like, you know,
life away
issues and stuff. Right. And it was like a really bad one. But this one was asked to Bo Scarborough. Do you think God is an Auburn fan? I didn't read what its response is, but what do you think it was? Maybe I should look it up.
I can bet you I can almost guess it word for word.
Okay, I'm gonna type it up. All right, yeah, here it is. Brown. Yeah, and by the way, that was the Cleveland Browns that asked that question.
Well, they also like there's a bunch of stuff with the Browns, but you want to know what Bo Scarborough's? And I haven't read anything. Yeah, I can tell you his response.
I have the answer, too, by the way, because Chase Godbread.
His answer would be, if God was an Auburn fan, why is Alabama winning championships?
That would have been, I think, the great answer. But here was his answer when asked. He said, I said no, I definitely don't think he is. So,
all right. I mean, fine.
I mean, that was fine. Sure. That was fine. But, I mean, like, that's up there with, that's a pretty good question. I kind of like that. I would have given anything to see his face.
I mean, that's just, see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I think the interviews are the most interesting thing. Like, they had, they asked Baker Mayfield, do you think you're arrogant? And he said, I'm not arrogant, but if there's one player that's going to turn around Cleveland, it's me.
I like that.
How are you not arrogant? I mean, it's fine to be arrogant.
Well,
you
what's the difference arrogance. Between arrogance and confidence?
Winning.
I think you nailed it. I think that's 100% right. I think that might be the differential between arrogance and confidence, and it might be results. Maybe that's
confidence
the better way to say it.
Confidence is high.
I thought that was fascinating.
I like the staring contest one because I don't understand.
Who does that?
The Seahawks asked the Longhorns punter for a staring contest.
Did he win?
I don't know.
I have to know if he won.
But did he
I want to know.
You know
did
what?
He win?
I feel like you're writing the questions for these.
I would be the
You want
best.
To know the answer to that. Okay. I mean, I just don't care.
Let
That's
me ask
just
you
a
this,
crazy
Bogman.
Thing to do.
Let me ask you this. You have known me for 21 years, I believe. I think that might be 20 to 21 years. That's close sure. to an accurate number. Tell me I wouldn't be an amazing combine questionnaire, like question asker. I would come up with wild stuff.
It's and see, that's the thing is like
confuse the hell out of them.
The like no one's looking at it. Seems to me like it's almost a sideshow sometimes because it is crazy. It is boring. I don't want to watch guys run in a straight line. You know, I find the actual draft itself where they're just reading names off of a list to be way more exciting than the combine, just for the fact that you're seeing, you know, young men change their life completely. So
see, I guess you and I differ a little bit because I also go out on, you know, I go on the backfields where no other person is, you know, out here in Arizona. I'll go to the San Diego Padres backfield where it's only players, it's only coaches. Half of the guys are sitting in the stands, just like sitting back in their shorts. And then there's a minor league, two teams are playing with no names on the back of their jersey and they're going and you don't know. And I couldn't be more ecstatic or I'm
do,
there
do
early
you,
to
do
watch
you
the workouts.
Watch Netflix while that's happening or something else. Like,
no.
What color paint is the most exciting to watch dry?
Like, I mean,
that sounds so boring to me. Like, I get it, but especially out here when it's 106 degrees. I mean,
I remember I did it in 118 degree weather at the Reds to go see.
Yeah, I know. You asked
guys.
Me to come and I said, absolutely not. What are you, crazy?
Yeah,
no,
I was.
That's too much. I mean, also, that's a long drive for me. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's some interesting things that came out of the, you know, the running back part today. I'm more excited to see the wide receivers because, like I said before last week, I think that the wide receiver numbers are going to separate the class.
Well, let's keep here for a second. We're going to save Saquon for the next segment because I think he deserves a whole segment. But there were some interesting numbers. So one of the things I saw, and I'm looking, we have a good sheet here. Where'd you find this sheet, by the way?
I believe our guy Sorio posted it in our GroupMe room, room.
This is a good sheet. I don't know how accurate it is, though, because I don't see everything. But Bo Scarborough, just speaking of him, he had I thought it was the broad jump, but...
Yeah.
This
yeah,
doesn't,
the broad jump.
Well, he had an 11.4, and this one says a 10.9.
It might have been, you know, the numbers change from live to like real measurements. So that's why this guy has 40-yard official, and Barkley actually took a tenth of a second off when they went back and remeasured.
Yeah, maybe
so
that's what. Well,
440.
Scarborough was just a beast. The thing I thought was interesting, talk to me about Rashad Penny real quick, because maybe I'm overblowing it a little bit, but it seemed to me he didn't have a big bench, but I don't think that's his game necessarily, even though I guess he's a bigger dude than I thought he was. He seemed to have had what I was told, a pretty good combine. He had a pretty good 40 time.
Well, running under 4.5 is good for a guy of his size.
Yeah.
5'10", 220, and running at 4.47 both times. Two. It wasn't like he ran a 4.47, then he ran a 4.63. He ran 4.47 twice in a row, and actually his official, they shaved a tenth off, so 4.46. So he's got that top of the line speed. So you see something like that, right?
Sure.
But you watch the Senior Bowl, and you saw him take a 72-yard pass to the house because he torched a linebacker. You know, I guess I'm just a little bit more concerned with game speed. I think the 40 is bigger for wide receivers, but it is impressive to see these guys come out and, you know, just get bigger, faster, stronger all the time. I don't know what went on with Ronald Jones. I guess he ran a 4.66, which was much slower.
Yeah, that's one of your guys too.
Yeah, and his game speed is incredible. You know, so I don't know if he only ran once, and it has an asterisk next to it. So unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the combine live. So I don't know, like maybe he pulled a hamstring or something. He also didn't lift. So I don't know if something happened or if he pulled out or something along those lines. But I wasn't surprised. I think I told you that Nyheim Hines was going to have the fastest 40 of any running back, and he did. He ran a 4.38.
Your boy Akram Wadley, he had a 4.54. Yeah, pretty low bench, really low vertical, by the way. I mean, look at Bo Scarborough was one of three running backs to have a 40 or higher vertical. And not to say that that's a marker necessarily for a guy like Akram Wadley, but they're not that close. Well, I guess those two are close apart. But, you know, Akram Wadley supposed to be a pretty good athlete. He had really short arms under, actually, if I'm looking at this, the shortest arms length of any running back besides DeMario Richard or DeMarco. Yeah, DeMario Richards from ASU. It looks like that's the smallest. Not a great 40 time, low bench, bad vertical, only 32 inches. That's, I mean, with DeMario Richard, that's kind of near the bottom. Does that concern you at all?
Not really. Like, I don't know. He's what I liked from Akram Wadley was his vision when he was in the open field, you know, ducking and his spin move and things like that. So I like watching him run more than I think. Like, I don't think, you know, I mean, Fournette had the worst vertical of any running back. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Akram Wadley is in, he's not in Leonard Fournette's neighborhood. But I like Leonard Fournette from the tape I've seen. I'm not going to let a bad combine ruin it for me. And if he wants to improve on these numbers, he can always work out for these specific things and then, you know, do it again in his pro day. And that's another thing is some of these guys will come in and work out for these specific things in the combine and get better at running the 40 instead of proving their overall game. You know, some guys do that instead of improving their hands or yeah, something that can actually be used during a game. So I'm a little bit waffling on the running backs and the importance of the combine for them, because I mean, Nick Chubb was pretty.
I wanted to talk about Chubb. That's where I wanted to go, because okay, Chubb, I thought had, I thought he had a great combine. When you look at the overall, he had he matched the bench of Saquon Barkley, which was the highest at 29.
That's incredible, man.
A 38.5 vertical, which it's not quite Barkley's, but I mean, it is up there. And we're talking Chubb is 227 pounds, 5'10". Arms are okay. I mean, I believe he excelled at everything. I wouldn't call the 40 an excellent number, but I feel like for him, it's pretty solid.
I mean, and this is another thing. So you see this 4.53 and 4.58, and you're like, okay. I mean, he's a big dude. He's 227 pounds, so you can't really expect him to be super high end. The fastest player at a top speed on the field in 2017 was Nick Chubb. He had the fastest game speed when he broke away in a game against, I believe it was Mississippi State. He ran for like a 40-yard touchdown where he was hitting, I think it was up close to 22, 23 miles an hour during the game. And that's the same kind of stuff that Fournette did. And he didn't run a great number during the combine. So while Saquon Barkley is another planet.
And everyone's talking about Saquon Barkley, rightfully so, which we're going to do. But, man, put Chubb and him up against each other.
I mean, Chubb was Todd Gurley before he had the injury.
A great point.
And I think that whoever takes him, unless, you know, he gets so much buzz leading up to the draft, which he might, whoever takes him is going to be getting a player at an extreme deal. And I have Geis as my two, but that might be the thing that flips me.
I think it's close, man.
I might flip over to Nick Chubb over Darius Geis. But I think, you know, they're both going to be really good. And if you have a top three pick in this draft, you know, in one of your rookie, you know, drafts or whatever it is, I think you can't go wrong. Yeah. I think Nick Chubb is going to be very good. So is Geis.
I mean, Geis was impressive,
Barkley, obviously.
Just, you know, there was, I mean, again, this isn't everything. But yeah, I mean, low bench, low vertical, decent, though he had it looked like a pretty big discrepancy between his 40 times. One was a 4.49, the other was
tired.
A 4.6. Yeah, exactly. So it's just stuff to look at. All these things are little tiny things to pick apart. It's not the true story. You know, I would always look to who I believe is the greatest NFL player of all time, Jerry Rice. And Jerry Rice is not the type of player that you look at and you look as like a combine guy. No,
right.
not at all. He's a game guy. He's a game flow guy. But in this day and age, you know, a guy like Nick Chubb, a guy like Darius Geis, and a guy like Saquon Barkley, who we're going to talk about, some of these numbers are impressive. And Saquon Barkley opened up eyes of the world, like the eyes that hadn't already been woke for him, which is pretty incredible. And there was a team I thought was very interesting. A team tweeted about Saquon Barkley's day at the combine, and I thought that was very interesting. So we'll talk about that in the final segment of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Friends watch Saquon Barkley in the dark together.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? I mean, I might want to watch it in the dark alone. I'm just saying. I'm not looking to go back to back or anything like that. But
no double Dutch rudder for you?
No, thank you, sir. Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final segment. We're talking about the NFL Combine, of course, because there's things to pick apart. It's hard to go in and look at the combine and get just completely bonkers about any single player. You know, there's 1,000 prime examples, but take like John Ross. John Ross was a darling last year, and he was a piece of garbage in the season. Just couldn't get it together. Team hated him.
Lewis.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis. I mean, we'll see if that changes. But the big news was Saquon Barkley. The world became woke, apparently, as he just destroyed everything. 233 pounds. With a 41-inch vertical, the highest of any player, a 4.4 40-yard dash, which I got to look here. Who beat him? It was
Nyheim Hines. That's it.
That's it. 233 pounds only beat by Hines, the 5'8", 198-pound running back at a North Carolina State. Barkley did everything at a magnificent level. He was the tied highest on the bench. The 40 was only beat by one player. Highest vertical. I think he had one of the best shuttle times. The dude's all world. And what I thought was fascinating was the Cleveland Browns tweeted the kind of hype video about his combine. I saw that and I was like, that's interesting to see the Cleveland Browns tweeting about Saquon Barkley.
He's going to go one overall.
He's going to go one overall, too.
I think McCarron's going to sign with the Browns because he loves Hugh Jackson. And after that, it's going to be Saquon Barkley is going to be number one overall. By the way, I want you to flip over and take a look at the bench press for the offensive linemen and know that three guys beat Barkley and Chubb on the offensive line.
Only three guys. That's how you should put it. Only three guys beat them. I'm looking. Will Hernandez out of UTEP. Who is this? Colby Gossett out of Appalachian State.
And Quentin Nelson.
That's
your guy.
Those are the only players that beat. Well, actually, there's one more you forgot. Wyatt Teller out of Virginia Tech.
Oh, I didn't see.
Four offensive linemen could only beat those two running backs.
And he would have been fifth last year, too. So
that is unbelievable. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough to, this is the ultimate, false prophet type of thing when you're looking at football, because the game is not played, on a timer with shorts and whatnot.
But he's got better tape than anybody also.
And that's the key point, man. Saquon Barkley, this isn't a player that just came out of nowhere, I'm using John Ross again, not that John Ross came out of nowhere, but John Ross was a fine guy.
There's combine guys, and then there's guys that do it.
We've always seen that.
And there's guys that do it in their production, and Fournette last year was not a combine guy. That's why, sometimes these numbers mean something, but a lot of times they don't, and they're overhyped and all that kind of stuff. Did you see the note on the tight ends under Troy Fumagalli? They have his hands, but he's missing a finger. I mean, dude still can catch the ball.
Is that
he's missing a finger. Yeah, he's been missing his finger since he was like 3 or something. And he had to have it removed.
All right.
So
how about you want me to give you all the running backs that have gone one overall since 1960?
Nobody. I mean, what running backs went
There's actually a lot.
One overall. Okay. Yeah, sure. Who were they?
You want me to go from bottom to top?
Yeah.
All right.
Start with the old guys.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to jump because some of these you're not going to know. But a reason I said 60 is because, well, we'll go start in 1969. Nice. One overall, O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
Then we didn't have another running back until 1977, which was Ricky Bell from USC going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The following year, from your Texas Longhorns, Earl Campbell. 1978 to the Houston Oilers. 1980, Bill Sims from Oklahoma, to the Detroit Lions. The following year, there's a good run here, if you notice, between like 77 and 81 of running backs. Because 81,
was, you know, back in the 3 yards in a cloud of dust days.
Yep. George Rogers from South Carolina went to the Saints, number one overall. Now, we got to go up to 1986 for the next one. Everyone will remember this guy. Auburn's Bo Jackson.
Bo knows being the number one overall.
But to Tampa Bay, wasn't he traded? Was he a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
Yeah, he was traded.
Yeah, he was traded. That's what I thought. But he still went number one overall. But on this, this is from NFL.com. They list him as a Buccaneer. Then it looks like there was a drought from 1986 all the way to 1995. Can you name this Penn State running back that went one overall?
Kijana Carter.
Boom! Kijana Carter to the Cincinnati Bengals, one overall in 1995. So that was about 10 years that one had not gone. Now, you're not looking, are you?
No, I'm not looking.
That was the last running back that went one overall. I had to look here because I was looking wrong.
After that, we saw Terrell Davis was undrafted and was incredible, and Jamal Anderson went late and was incredible. You know, there are many, many running backs that come out of nowhere.
Guess what?
And
Kajana Carter, Penn State.
Yeah.
Same college. Okay, well, can you name the other? There's only been one other Penn State player that has gone one overall. Ooh,
Courtney
am I
going to
say ever? You nailed it. I'm going to say ever, and since 1936, only two Penn State players Courtney Brown and Kajana Carter.
Yeah, because Courtney Brown and LeVar Arrington, I think, went back-to-back in that draft, and they're both from Penn State. So
potentially
that Penn State defense.
We would be looking at the first running back in 23 years to go first overall would be Saquon Barkley, and many agree
he's just the best player in this draft.
It's not even questionable.
Yeah, I don't think it is. There are other very, very good players. I think the second best player is probably Quentin Nelson, who the Niners are going to wind up taking at 9 and just upset the Welsh so much because he's an offensive lineman. I think he's the second best player in this draft, but guards also don't go high. You know, there's a lot of teams that have the philosophy of you don't take a guard in the first round, you know.
Or the ninth pick overall.
Or the ninth overall pick, unless you really need to protect that franchise quarterback that you just made the highest paid annual quarterback in the league. Maybe you want a guy to protect
you. I might just stop watching football if they take an offensive lineman in the first round. I think I'm going to commit to that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now they're definitely going to take an offensive
lineman.
What if they traded down and got like pick 22 and took an offensive lineman? Still upset?
Yes, but that won't make me quit everything. If nine overall they take an offensive lineman.
Then you're getting the game day package, right?
Yep. I'll get the jersey and I'll have a Chubb. 100%. 100,000%. I would be very. Someone asked me that. Someone slid in. Tony Kohler, who's a 49er fan, he decided to slide in today. And he did the, hey, what do you think? And then as soon as I say it, completely hate and disagree with everything that I said. And I was like, well, I don't have to tell you, man. Like, that's what I think. So we don't agree and I'm done. I want a running back. And he was like, oh, a running back is dumb to take. And I'm like, it's not, because you know what? I want a playmaker. To me about what the playmakers were last year. Guess what what playmakers do they have on this team right now, the 49ers? They have Marquise Goodwin and Pierre Garçon. Nothing else. Don't talk to me about
Pierre
Joe Garçon Williams.
The entire year with the injury.
Exactly. Don't talk to me about Breida. Don't talk to me about Joe Williams. I don't care about mediocre running backs they might look after. They have no playmakers. And I mean game-changing playmakers. And guess what? I believe a guy like Nick Chubb is one of those. So I would, that's what I want. I want.
Does it change your mind at all that the two teams in the Super Bowl were the Philadelphia Eagles with Jay Ajayi, who they traded for in the middle of the year, and the Patriots had Deion Lewis?
No, because they have playmakers across the field. The Patriots had Brandon Cooks and Rob Gronkowski and I would even say Danny Amendola and Tom Brady.
Well, I was talking about
Eagles have. I don't care if it's running. At the end of the day, to me, it's about playmakers. It's not just about running backs. I think the running backs from this class.
And there's no wide receivers to take in.
That's my point. There's no wide receivers that jump out as playmakers to me. But for me, I believe there are three game-changing playmaking running backs. Obviously, Saquon is number one. So that's what I would like the 49ers to do personally.
I would love for them to take Quentin Nelson because I think he's the best player, and then take like Ronald Jones in the second round. I think that'd be great. And then take, I would really love it if my guy, St. Brown, fell to them in the third round. I think then you're really cooking with gas because I like St. Brown a lot.
So what do you think about, let's talk about this as we end out because the big conversation becomes about Saquon Barkley. It doesn't matter where he goes. Let's assume he's a Cleveland Brown, Isaiah Crowell, he's cooked, he's gone. And Barkley is the number one guy. And presumably they could have Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley on that team. Where does Saquon Barkley go in drafts this year? Because I've seen people say top seven running back overall, which could put him in the first round or maybe the first or second pick in the second round. I see some people say higher, and I've seen some say lower. Where are you in on Saquon Barkley the more that you're seeing him?
So if he go, you're saying if he goes to the Browns.
Yeah, just assume he's going to be a Cleveland Brown.
Man. Well, let's see. You would have to put, I don't have a list put together, you know, quite yet, but you would have to put.
All right. So he's not over David Johnson. He's not over Todd Gurley. He's not over Ezekiel Bell. Elliott. Not over Bell. Okay. So there's four.
I wouldn't put him over Fournette.
Okay. I think that's a big marker there. What about LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, I'd probably put him over McCoy. Well. Nah, I would take the experience of McCoy for now.
All right. Well, then I feel like you're going to be the low man on the totem because then I'm going to start asking you, what about Kamara? You're going to say Kamara.
No, I'll take Barkley.
Okay. What about Kareem Hunt?
Barkley.
So you have LeSean McCoy over Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara?
Yes.
Okay. Are we forgetting anybody?
I don't think we are. Let me see. Tampa Bay, Seattle, nope. Washington, Philly, New York, Dallas. We already got Zeke. Jordan Howard has got to be up there.
Barkley or Howard? I think that's actually a really great marker.
I'd still take Barkley.
I'm going to take Barkley too. And I'm taking Barkley over LeSean McCoy as well.
Yeah, Mark Ingram has to go up there, too, with the year that he had. He was really, really good.
But you're not taking Ingram over Barkley.
And Devontae Freeman has to go in that
you're
mix
not taking
of running
any
backs.
Of those guys.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying running backs that people might take. A lot of people are going to be like, well, I don't know the rookie, so I'm not taking the rookie. I mean, everybody said that about, you know, everybody said that about Fournette, and everybody said that about Zeke, too. Fewer people said it after Zeke, I can tell you that. So even fewer people are going to say it after Fournette also. And especially with all the tape that Barkley has. I mean, I think the only knock on Barkley that a lot of, you know, people have had is that the offensive line was so bad at Penn State that his immediate reaction has been to kick it out. So he may not have as much experience as you'd want for a running back that's going to come in and get 25 to 30 carries a game at running those inside through those inside lanes.
Yeah.
So that's the one knock that you could possibly have on Saquon. Outside of that, he's all athlete. You know, he can burn past people. He can run over people, obviously. He can juke people out of their damn shoes. He's, a generational talent, gets thrown around a lot, but I would put him ahead of Zeke and ahead of Fournette and ahead of Gurley coming out of college. Does that mean he's going to wind up in a better situation than those? Well, it's tough to wind up in a better situation than, you know, the Dallas Cowboys with Zeke, you know, and Leonard Fournette with the Jaguars, but it's possible. I mean, you know, maybe the Browns take Quentin Nelson with that fourth pick. And then you have
great.
A guy blocking for that that running back that you have.
Well, so. I mean, wouldn't that be a likely scenario if they were to go sign AJ McCarron?
Yeah, I think it could be. They now the Browns need a lot of help everywhere. So, you know, Mika Fitzpatrick and, you know, if Bradley Chubb fell, like there's a lot of options for them to take. I mean, they're not really hamstrung by needing a certain position to just be better. Like, I think that's why I feel like the Niners could trade down and take a guy like Calvin Ridley or take a guy like Nick Chubb later in the first round and maybe add a third round pick or a fourth round pick.
What about a guy like Sonny Michel?
I think Sonny Michel is probably a second-round pick.
All right, so go ahead.
I think the first-round dudes, as far as running back go, are Barkley, Geis, Chubb, and maybe Jones.
So let me ask you, of the run, I'm going to focus on running backs just because of the fantasy implication. From what you've seen in the game, the bowl game, you know, type of stuff, and like the Senior Bowl and all that, you've seen from the combine, you got to think ahead to pro days and whatnot. What running backs do you think have, and if you want to throw in pro days, are going to boost their value to what was about 2 months ago? Who are the guys? Like, Barkley doesn't count here, but a guy like Sonny Michel, you know, he looked like he had a pretty good combine. He was catching the ball out of the backfield. Your boy Andy Singleton was talking about him as Michel is his number two running back on his board. Royce Freeman didn't help himself, but, you know, like, who do you think, I mean, Bo Scarborough kind of had a good thing, whether it's from the sixth round to the fourth round or the second round to the first round, who do you think is a player that could boost their value the most?
I think Chubb went from I feel like Chubb in the combine went from a borderline first, second round pick to probably a first round pick. I think that's the biggest jump that
like
you have.
Like a first round pick?
Nah, maybe at highest, you know. I mean, somebody could fall in love with him and pick him higher.
Do you think Chubb could surpass Geis?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's guaranteed that Geis is going to be the second running back taken. We see that kind of stuff all the time. You know, a team can fall in love with a dude, and I could see many teams doing that for Geis or Ronald Jones or Sonny Michel. You know, Sonny Michel ran similar and put up similar combine numbers to Alvin Kamara, and that's what everyone is comparing him to right now. And he's going to be the hot name.
I like it. All right. Well, there you go. There's some NFL combine coverage and lots of coverage across the entire show, from fantasy baseball stuff to our book to the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, all of that. So go check out InThisLeague.com. You can get the rest of our podcast, whether it is NFL draft, prospect, baseball, or more. We got your back. This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in, and you can get it all on demand if you missed it over at FantasySportsNetwork.com. Until next time, we will see you. Bye-bye.
Saw ya.